Welcome to the Murphy, Sam, and Jody After the Show podcast. And I want to share just a little story with you about somebody that I really looked up to. And, you know, not famous person, but I would hope that someday that I could somehow accomplish the same things. It's just one of the most, I don't know, for me personally, beautiful stories that comes out of my family, Jody. And so it's my grandfather. And the year is 1915, 16, and he's 4 years old, and his dad passes away suddenly. So he, you know, it's just he and his mom. Two more years go by, Spanish flu comes through, and she passes on. So he's now orphaned. And
he's what, six?
He was, all of 6 years old. And so he kind of wound up being bounced around family to family for a while until there was an aunt in the family that brought him in and raised him. So through his high school years, he was, you know, with his aunt. But he had bounced around a lot as a little kid. And then he wound up meeting my grandmother. They dated for a number of years, got
met
married.
In high school.
Yeah, they met in high, they were high school sweethearts, absolutely. And it was really always funny for me to hear the story because he chased her and she wanted nothing to do with
him. I love those kind of stories.
She was not interested in him at all. And he carried the photo from the yearbook in his wallet for a full year before he even got up the nerve to ask her out.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm getting chills. Yeah.
So
I love that.
You know, so they dated for a number of years before they got married.
What made her give in?
I actually don't know the answer to
that. His persistence, obviously.
Yeah, I think it was just one of those give it a chance, and they just wound up, you know, being close. They learned to like each other. He just bugged her. She said he bugged her enough where she finally just said, okay, I'll go on a date with you.
Whoa.
Yeah, right. I didn't know you didn't know that, Jody.
I don't know. I knew that. I knew a little, but I didn't know he carried the yearbook picture.
Yeah. So, you know, my grandmother and he, I mean, nothing was tighter than the two of those. My grandfather died when he was 67 years old, and my grandmother outlived him by another 30-some-odd years. And he was the, you know, he was the love of her life. But when you go back to when they got married, she also was that stability for him. Now he was building a family that was really his family and was a complete family.
And that probably meant more to him than most of us.
Yeah.
Because of his childhood.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and he was a self-made person, you know, for that reason. He was not a shy individual. He was the kind of person who was a lot of fun to be around. It's too bad he died when I was 10. I would have really loved to have known him better. But he, you know, coming from those orphan roots, I guess, a lot of things that he learned the hard way, he became a very outgoing, gregarious achiever type. He was a cheerleader at Louisiana State University in 1932, I think, or three is what the year was. I mean, he was in the middle of everything that, you know, he dove in all the way. And I didn't even realize this until we were going through some yearbooks recently, that through his college years, he actually served on student councils. He was the president of one of them. I mean, he was a leader. And he majored in chemical engineering and went on to work for what was, I guess, Humble Oil at that time, Esso, Exxon, whatever it became. I don't remember at that time.
Didn't he build y'all grandma's house too?
Yeah, that's what that's actually what I'm getting to. So he goes into the Army. He made it all the way to be a colonel and did his tour of duty. And that's when my dad was born and both of my uncles were born. So now he has the full family, and they bought their first house that they paid cash for. I mean, you can't do that today.
No.
And it was
some people can, I'm sure,
extremely, you know, modest, which is what it would be, you know, wood frame home that my dad and his brothers spent their formative years in. But my grandfather was a visionary type and a dreamer type, and he could picture things like, and I don't have that gift. But he had always wanted to build his dream house. And that's what he focused his mind on. And in 1939, they bought a piece of land that they just held on to. One day they were going to build their dream house on this piece of land. So they bought that actually before my parents were born, before my uncles and all, before the family, they started their family.
That's crazy.
But he knew that at some point he was going to build a, you know, what he wanted is his home because he didn't have one set home for many, many years while he was a kid.
Again, that and, also meant more to him than some of us can understand if you right. had always had a home.
Right. And so, wow. right. So, you know, fast forward through the years, it's 1961 and they decide that they're going to, you know, build this home. He's saved up enough money over the years. He actually worked with the architect. He knew what he wanted. He had done research from magazine clips and all that. Mm. And he literally, you know, created the house that he wanted to build. A story and a half, kind of typical of the mid-century modern time.
A cool house.
It was a very cool house. And he designed it to be a family gathering spot. He wanted the living room to be a big area where people could come together and have, and he could be the patriarch with my grandmother, the matriarch, mm-hmm. you know, and host people and all of that. And those, again, they're all the things that he visualized that he knew that he wanted from the time that he was very young and, you know, and bought this piece of land. So it took him about 2 years to build the house, and they moved into their dream house. And my grandfather died, I guess, 18, 17 years after they built it. So they had 17 years together in this house. This house also was the place of every holiday I ever attended, you know, as a grand, you know, a grandson with our family. And so the house really became iconic to us before I ever even knew the story of my grandfather being, you know, the orphan and all of that. And that house is not in the family anymore. Unfortunately, it was something we wanted to be able to keep in the family. But it's still iconic, at least in stories now and in photos. Mm-hmm. And one thing that has really memorialized this house is something that happened by pure chance and is crazy. And now Jody gave me the biggest surprise possible, actually, around this just this past weekend. There was a framed piece of art of my grandmother's house, grandmother's house, that hung over their TV for many, many, many years. And when she passed, my parents brought it home and it hung in their house. And of course, we're now moving things out of my parents' house and I brought it home over the weekend. My brother and sister and I are going to share it. But so I was just going to just put it in the closet for now. Mm-hmm. And so I walk out. Jody's actually hung it on our mantle. Mm. And there it is. And so it's one of those things that anybody else who walks in the house is going to say, oh, what's that house? You know? And it's you can't really even begin to explain that kind of story to somebody. But my favorite part of that painting is the story my grandmother told of the painting. She had somebody come and knock on her door one day, and this gentleman said, you know, hi, would you mind if I paint your house? And she explained, we just moved in here a year ago. It doesn't need to be painted. And he said, no, I mean on a canvas.
Yeah.
I want to paint your house.
He admired, because it's a cool looking house. Yeah,
he admired it. Yeah. He was looking for money and, you know, and he was certainly going to earn it in an honest way. And so he painted, you know, that picture, and it's been hanging in their house ever since, or was hanging, you know, from the moment that he painted it. They had it framed. So here's this thing that started out as my grandfather's pipe dream of what he ultimately hoped would become, you know, his dream home and was, and family gathering spot and all of those things. And he lived in and so everything he wanted in that house outlived him by another 35 yeah. years for yes. all of the rest of us. And now the story is there and captured in this painting. There are plenty of pictures of the house. Don't get me wrong. There are plenty of movies and all that. But the painting
of the house
itself is really iconic to us.
And the funny thing about it is this. You know, Murphy brings home a lot of stuff from his dad's house. And oftentimes when he walks in with stuff, I'm kind of like, where am I going to put this now? You know, because I don't like a cluttered house, and I try to keep it things in their place. When he walked in with that picture, and what you said was, I don't know what you want to do with this. We can just put it in the closet. And I didn't say anything to you because it's like, no, that can't just go in the closet because I know the story.
Yeah.
I didn't know about him having her picture in his wallet, but I know the story of the house. And so when Murphy walks back outside to the carport to get the rest of the stuff in from his, I walk over to our mantle, which had just had a silly print leaning, not even hanging, but leaning on the mantle on the brick there. And I'm like, take that down. I've been wanting to take that down anyway. Do you know that I was for the first time, this is yesterday, for the first time I noticed that in the brick painted the same color as our brick is painted, like a cream, a white cream. I didn't see it before. There was a screw in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I reach into the back of the picture. There's a wire. And so I get up on the little ladder. You had to come help me because the picture's heavy. Mm-hmm. It hung perfectly. Mm-hmm. When I tell you, this would drive you nuts if it wasn't this way, Sam, but it's the exact correct amount of space above the picture and below the picture before the mantle.
It's mm-hmm. uncanny.
It belongs there.
It is uncanny how, I mean,
it was meant to be there.
It looks like we framed it, measured it up ourselves, and put it there. It just blew me away when Jody hung that up, and it was.
It's so, like that belongs there.
Yeah, so you feel like it's meant to be.
I do. It's meant to be on your mantle, our mantle, yeah. in the house. You know, you can't keep everything. It doesn't keep them alive, but you're a very traditional man when it comes to your family and your family history. And I understand that should went out over a Kirkland's print. Okay?
Yes, I agree.
So are you going to finish the story by telling us that that guy who stopped by and knocked on the door was Pablo Picasso?
No, not that far, but that would be a good tall tale.
Yeah.
Missed any part of the show? Get it all on the Murphy, Sam & Jody podcast.